The Bible reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, from verse 40 to chapter 2, verse 17. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four men. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking such things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks so much, Dion, for reading that to us. And we're just going to have a moment as we think on this story and these words of the Lord Jesus. But first, I've got some slides, and I need you to tell me what these places are. Based on the picture, it should be hopefully quite obvious, and why you might go there. So, number one, what is this? Yes, Sam? Why do you go to a barber's? To cut your hair. And that's where we went this week, as you can see. There we go. Been to the barber's this week. Excellent, fantastic. What does this remind you of, this kind of thing? I heard a mumbling optician suggest it isn't time to test your eyes. Don't panic, everyone. But why do you go to an optician's? To get your eyes tested, right? Yeah, obviously I've had to do that quite a lot. Can you read the bottom line? Not without lens A or B. There we are. Anyway, what about this one? I think this is, what do you think this chair might be? I filled everyone with horror. What do you think this place might be? Dentist, yeah, dentist, excellent. Yeah, I tried it as the best I can. And you go to the dentist, what do dentists look at? Teeth, right, yeah. Everyone's favourite place. Okay, so we've done this for, this is going to be the flip side. You guys see another picture. You need to tell me what these people might need, okay, or what this situation you might need to do in a situation like this. So we've seen three places. If you need a haircut, you go to a barber's. If you need your eyes tested, you go to opticians. If you need your teeth looked at, you go to a dentist. What do you think this person here might need? Yeah, what do you think this person here needs, assuming he's not faking it, okay? Everyone's cynical of footballers just rolling around on the floor. Assuming he is injured, what does this person need? Anyway, yes. A doctor, yeah, he needs a physio, maybe a stretcher, yeah, he's injured, yeah, absolutely. What does this dog need? Who's at a bath? Yeah, a bath, yeah, this is a joyful, muddy dog that you don't let in your house unless the dog has had a bath, yeah? And what does this person need? New engine, yeah, new engine. Yeah, new car. Green flag, the AAR, whatever your choice is, yeah. So, just the caravan, maybe, Ashley, yeah. So we've seen that in certain situations, all of us know what you need. Now, just imagine this story. Here we go. This is Jesus. He's so popular now, so much more popular as a teacher than I am, that there's so many people that no one can get in. You have a friend. A friend you know is paralyzed. Now, we don't know quite the complete extent of how paralyzed he was, but we know your friend cannot walk. And so between you, you gather up your buddies, four of you to be precise, and you decide, you've heard a bit about Jesus, that you're going to take him to see Jesus. So you carry your friend on a mat all the way to Jesus, and you find, as you get to where he is, that you cannot get in. It is so busy, because Jesus is so popular. As you there peer over the crowds, trying to wave and get his attention, your friend is here, and you cannot get in. Now, you're living 2,000 years ago, so the houses do not have sloped roofs, likely flat roofs that people would have gone on at times when it was hot. And you climb up the stairs and you begin scrabbling away at the roof. I don't know if you can imagine actually being in the house itself and you just hear this. You see a bit of like the kind of what it was made of start to fall through the ceiling, a bit of light stream through as you're there wondering what on earth is going on. And as these four friends begin to lower the man in front of Jesus, you're there, the four friends, you're watching him go down. You pause. You look at Jesus and you wait for him to say something. And at that moment, if you're the friends of the paralyzed man, I wonder what you think he needs. I wonder what you want Jesus to say to this man. Now, I think most of us say the paralyzed man that can't walk, you want him to be healed, right? That's your need. You think this person needs healing. He's there before Jesus. Jesus looks at him. He looks at you and says, you know, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, get up. No, he doesn't. He said, sons, your sins are forgiven. Imagine if you're the four friends. You've brought him all the way to Jesus. You want him to walk. And Jesus just says, sons, your sins are forgiven. Is that what the man needed? Did he need his sins forgiven? Is that it? Jesus, are you going to do anything else? Some people know this is a bit odd. Some teachers of the law are sitting there thinking to themselves, why did this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, just to help you understand what that means, imagine Catherine, who's been helping me so wonderfully with the Christingle, is going to come up and she's going to help me again as we explain how to build it. Imagine if I said something really mean to Catherine, like, your explanations were terrible. You didn't help us do anything. Why are you even here? Imagine if I said some horrible things about Catherine. Now, imagine if I then went and said to Benjamin, my son, Benjamin, I'm really sorry for saying those not very nice things to Catherine. Will you forgive me? Can Benjamin forgive me?
Yes.
Yes. Well, he can do. But he probably can't forgive me if I haven't done anything wrong to him. The person I'd have to say sorry to is Catherine. I couldn't ask for forgiveness from someone else if I haven't wronged them. And it's striking, the teachers of the law know that sin, that big Bible word, is not just about the things we do to each other, but is about the way we have ignored God. And the teachers of the law know that if you want your sins forgiven, you need God to forgive you because he's the one you have offended. He's the one that we need forgiveness from. But what they don't and they miss is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what he wants to show them. That he is the one that can forgive our sins because he is God's son. Now, Jesus does show this. Again, if you're the four friends sitting there, you're a bit like, okay, his sins are forgiven, but he's still nothing can happen. So Jesus shows us he can forgive sins. He asked them, which is harder to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. Now, all of us here know that if I said to that player who needed a doctor or a physio, player, get up, unless he was a footballer rolling around on the floor, he couldn't get up. My words wouldn't do anything. It's impossible for us to speak and for things like that to happen. I speak many things and nothing happens a lot of the time. But it's impossible for me to do that. So Jesus wants to say, because it's harder to do that, if I can do that, I can forgive sins. And so he does. He tells the man to get up and walk. And so the man leaves. What an amazing person Jesus is. He can forgive sins. So I just want to say, as we sort of finish looking at this briefly, I want to come to that final verse in chapter 2, verse 17. As Jesus has gone and eaten with the despised, the low, the last, the least, the lost, those who the society would view as sinners and tax collectors who were really despised in that age. They were a bit like, they were people who'd sort of gone against the Jewish people to work for the Romans, to collect money, likely would have sifted some on the top. If we don't like tax collectors today, or HMRC, then you really wouldn't like them in that day and age. They were really seen as the despised. But Jesus is with them because Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy you need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. See, what we learn from the paralyzed man is what all of us need, fundamentally and finally, above everything else. What Jesus says we need more than anything is for our sins to be forgiven. And what qualifies you to come to Jesus, what gives you the right to come before him and say sorry to him, is not that you've got it all together. Indeed, Jesus says, if you know in your heart that you've messed up, if you know as you sit here that you've got things wrong, if you know you've offended others, and ultimately you know you've ignored your Creator, you are the person Jesus has come for. Strange enough, if you sit there and think, I've got it all together and I'm a good person, that's the people that actually rejected Jesus so overtly. Because none of you here sit at home when you're ill, try and work out what's wrong, get better, go to the doctor and say, I was ill, but I'm now better, doctor. They look at you like, why are you here? Obviously, we go to the doctor. You guys, children, you know, you go to the doctor. You have medicine when you are ill. And Jesus is saying that he has come for those who know they are sick. I'm always surprised when we think about church and people assume that the only time they can come to church is when they've had a good week. So people say, well, I had a good week, so I come to church. As if they need to have everything sorted to come to church. Or, you know, at home just before church, everything's gone absolutely wrong. Everything's a mess. They drive to the church car park and the church car park has this miraculous effect of making everything be okay. And so you walk in with a smile plastered on your face and say, I'm fine. Actually, if you've had the worst week, if you know you've got everything totally wrong this week, this is the place you need to be. This is the doctor's surgery you need to come to. The person you need to meet with is Jesus. You don't need to have it all together. You need to know you don't have it together. And as you come to Jesus, you'll find a doctor who will see you, who will change you, and who'll forgive you. Church is not a museum of good people where people can come and find the brightest and best. Church is a hospital for sinners and the sick. I think the second surprise I get is when people say, I can't come to church because I'm worried I might be struck down, as if, again, because they know they've done things wrong and they're walking to church, somehow that means they can't come. But again, we don't come to church with everything sorted. We come to see the doctor. We come to see the one who can make things right. We come to see the one that, as we stand in the pit, has come down to the pit to lift us out. The one who promises that if we come to him, if we say sorry, we will find forgiveness and hope and life. And not just that, as we meet Jesus, we find someone who will genuinely and wonderfully transform our lives as we follow him. So this morning, if you are ill, if you are sick, the good news this morning is the doctor will see you. And if you're here this morning, you've been coming for many weeks and years and months, and you feel like, you know, you've had the worst week, everything's gone horribly wrong, the doctor is here. He will see you. He'll forgive you. And once again, he'll minister to you again. So if you're sick this morning, come to Jesus. Find forgiveness, hope, and life in him. Let us pray, and then we're going to do the next part of our Christingle. Father God, we thank you that the doctor will see us. Thank you, Father, that even though we have rejected you, and there rightfully are consequences for that, Father, we thank you that Jesus, the good doctor, will see us. That if we are sick, if we come to him, we will find forgiveness, healing, and life. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, the sin doctor, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Amen.